This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's talk tech with Nelson Rago of Cool Blind Tech. Nelson is the founder of that group and joins us from Edmonton, Alberta. Hey, good morning, Nelson.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
So, Nelson, let's jump into the first topic here, Vision Buddy, which has been, they're a tech startup, which has created a VR-style headset to assist users who are blind to see more clearly during a wide range of activities, like watching TV. So, how does this Vision Buddy headset work?
It has a couple components, they made it very simple for someone to use. So, for example, if you have your TV and you have HDMI output from your TV, which basically is your video and audio signal, and you plug that into the Vision Buddy hub and the input port there, and then you turn on your headset and it automatically connects to the hub, and it's easy as that. It's streaming live what you're seeing on your TV, and it works with streaming boxes as well. So if you want to use like the Roku or the Apple TV or even the Fire TV or other set-top boxes, you'll stream that live through the HDMI connection and via the Vision Buddy headset.
So what are some of the features we're talking about here to sort of make the experience easier for someone who's partially sighted to enjoy their TV or their streaming services?
Yeah, one of the main features is, it's better to enjoy TV watching with your family and friends. So instead of it just streaming into your VR headset, in this case, it allows you to not only have it on your VR headset, but the people that are, with your family or most likely people that have sight, they're able to watch TV and actually experience the TV just as you're experiencing it through your headset. You're getting the audio through the headset. You're getting the visuals to the headset. It streams in 4K. The new version is actually upgraded to 16 megapixels camera, even though they say it's a very robust headset, they say it's about a half a pound, so which doesn't sound very heavy. And it's something that they mentioned that could be portable, that could be used outside the house. It doesn't necessarily have to be used just sitting watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Are there various modes or particular modes and presets you can tap into as a user on this device?
Yeah. So one of the excellent features is, aside from the watching TV, is that you can integrate it with a monitor or a whiteboard, digital whiteboard. The main mode is outside the TV is the magnification. So that's a big thing. So it's a 10x zoom. And that allows you to zoom in or zoom out. Let's say you're reading your medications or you're trying to read a menu in a restaurant. Allows you to do that. Another important thing is that it has upgraded OCR, which is optical character recognition, and it'll take a text like if you want to read a book or if there's something that you can't quite magnify in. It uses the OCR feature of the headset to read back to you.
And do we know what the availability of this device is? You mentioned it's a tech startup, but do we know what might be hitting the shelves for us?
Yeah, the great news here is that it's actually available in Canada. They have it launched with Vision Australia, Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind, and also the main thing is with the CNIB. So if someone is interested in this product, reach out to your local CNIB, I think they're centralized, but just contact the CNIB. I think you can contact them through their toll-free number and just ask about the Vision Buddy and see how we can test it out, see if it's something that you could use.
Very good. Well, Nelson, let's go from tech startups to the Ivy League. A Cornell University-led collaboration has developed technology that enables inflatable braille to change shape under a user's fingertips. It's going to be like an iPad or a Kindle tool for blind and partially sighted folks. So what is one of the key challenges in developing a dynamic braille display?
One of the main challenges is basically the Braille itself is how much you're going to feel under your finger. So apparently that's a very difficult thing because sometimes the actuators, which are the little mechanisms that you feel under your fingers, are either too soft or you can't feel them well enough. So that's the main issue that they're having with Braille is how much tension do you need in the actuators, before it, you're flattening out the Braille, so I can't read it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a main issue that they're having.
So how are they hoping this one's going to work in regards to the inflatable Braille technology?
So the technology behind this is very interesting. So they're eliminating the some of the mechanisms within it, like the valve portion of it, and by doing that, they can make the actuators, which is just the little parts that you feel that are feeling under your finger, and they have an interesting combination of methane and oxygen in combination with liquid metal, and they use it with molded silicone, and you're basically feeling a little actually they're saying that's actually combusting, so there's little sparks that you don't necessarily feel under your finger, but it's just tiny microscopic sort of sparks. But you feel the actual feedback under your fingers of Braille, and of course you can just push that down to sort of reset it. But it's a very very unique way of approaching Braille, since historically people were trying to miniaturize the mechanisms, and now they sort of bypassed a part of those mechanisms and gone with liquid metal in incorporation with those fuels, and that's circulated through the channels of the screen. And they're hoping for future applications, outside of Braille, they're hoping with other applications as well.
Yeah, it seems like a really good idea. As you put your thinking cap on, where do you see other applications for this?
They do mention wearables because it's a soft feeling. They think that they can have a soft sort of robot. So I'm guessing they're going to try to simulate humans with this type of, texture. But one of the important things is that they can help with surgery, so you can actually open blocked passages while surgery is being conducted. So that's a big bonus to have it outside of using it for Braille.
Yeah, no doubt about that one. That's a huge practical implication. Nelson, let's move on to where we always end the segment, which is one of your tech tips. And last week on the show, you were telling us about new accessibility features and new accessible games coming to Xbox. Well, later in that show, Daniel Penamondo and I talked about how PlayStation was doing something similar. So give us the lowdown on the accessibility collection in the PlayStation Store.
Yeah, the cool thing that I'm not sure if PlayStation knew that Xbox was doing this, but they always seem to be following behind Xbox. From people I speak to who are hardcore gamers, have problems with vision, they always recommend Xbox over PlayStation. But it's good that PlayStation is trying to do something, but they don't have the special like tags that Xbox has. Like for example, you can go to collections, and then under there, the last time I checked this morning, I think it's at 46 games. It doesn't say specifically what level of accessibility is. So accessibility for me could mean something different for someone else.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, but they do offer that the games there, and you can do it by order of when it was released, and then you can sort of do your own research and see what accessibility is actually involved with it through the developer's website. But right now, that's how they have it. It's just a basic accessibility collection. But before that, they had nothing. So it's something better than what they had. So, and you can see it on their the store on their website, and you can see it through the console itself if you want to look at those collections. And they just added another game, I think, just like over the last couple of days ago. So games from like Ratchet and Clank, and I'm not sure a lot of these titles, I'm not quite familiar with these names, but there's quite a few of them, and it's worth exploring, and hopefully they'll incorporate tags like mm-hmm. how Xbox is doing, and then people can really dig into the level of accessibility of these games actually have.
Math lessons with Nelson Rago. Something is better than nothing. That seems accurate to me. Nelson, thank you for this, man. Have a great day.
Great. Take care.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.